Any more prayer requests? Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? The Holy Communion is a very special event that we partake of with Jesus. It's the most intimate thing we can do with Him, because Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He also said to take this wine, said, "This is my blood." But the main thing we need to do is to make sure that we don't take this out of some kind of religious tradition or habit, or it's just something that we do on special Sundays. You know, we need to do is release our faith in what we're doing so that we can receive the benefits that God has provided for us. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So when we take this communion, we need to specifically look at this bread, which is the body of Christ, and see the different things that happened to Him in His passion. Number one, I want you to notice that this bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant sin in the Bible. And Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never ever made a mistake. You'll notice that this bread is beaten flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus was beaten and bruised. He was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. See, transgressions are sins that we knew were sins before we committed them. Iniquities were sins we didn't know they were sins when we committed them. He's got us covered both ways. Also, you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. And a lot of times I'll take a full sheet of this matzah bread so people can see the stripes. You'll notice that there's holes in this bread. The Bible tells us that Jesus' body was pierced for us. Not just on the cross when the Roman soldier thrust a spear into His side. His body was pierced when He got that crown of thorns on His head, and He shed blood. His body was pierced when He got nails in His hands, and He shed blood. His body was pierced when He got nails in His feet, and He shed blood. Every time Jesus shed blood, it was on purpose, and we get redemption in some area for that. You also notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You for it. The blood of Jesus is so absolutely perfectly pure because He never once sinned. He never made a mistake. He came here. He was found in the fashion of man. He was in a man's body. But He didn't have the same blood that we have. He had the blood of God in Him. We have Adam's blood coursing through our veins, which means that we have sin-tainted blood, which is why we need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. But Jesus took His precious, perfect blood, and He poured it all out. Not only did it wash away our sins at the new birth, but according to 1 John 1:7, it tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into His presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need, no matter what mistake we may have made. We can have confidence that we can run to God. He'll clean us up. We don't have to get cleaned up to run to God. He's the only one that can clean us up. So, Father, we thank we're taking of this blood in Jesus' name. Open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 112. And my pastor used to always say there are three psalms that you need to commit to memory. Psalm 23, Psalm 91, Psalm 112. And God kind of impressed upon me that we needed to look at Psalm 112. And I thought, okay. Well, then, Trump went over and bombed Iran's nuclear sites, and I thought, okay. And I've seen how this kind of tied together a little bit here. But I want you to focus. There's one verse right here that we're going to start off with in Psalm 112, verse 8. It says that his heart is established. He shall not be afraid till he sees his desire upon his enemy. The number one thing I want you to notice about this is that his heart is established in the Word of God. That's what we're looking at, having our hearts established in the Word of God. You know, Abraham became fully persuaded that God was able to do what he told him he would do. See, Abraham was... his heart was established in what God said. See, when we become fully persuaded, it means we become established in what God said. Nobody can take that away from us. One thing that God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it said, meditate on my word day and night. You know, see, this is the thing. When we meditate on that word, and we get it in our heart where we know it. We know it, we know it, we know it. Nobody can take it from us. You know, see, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It does not say, however, that faith comes by hearing, or it does not say that faith comes by having heard. A lot of people act like that. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. See, we've all heard a lot of stuff. But that doesn't mean that it's established in our heart. In order for it to become established in our heart, we're going to have to camp on it for a little while. We're going to have to look at it. Maybe you're more talented than I am. I hope so. My lightning fast mind, sometimes it takes me a little while to catch on. You know, I mean, I may have to look at something for a little while and meditate on it and study it before it finally gets downloaded. You know, I'm a little hard-headed sometimes. But sometimes it takes us a little while of looking at something and looking at it, and looking at it, and hearing it, and studying it. And then finally, we get it. Well, I wish I could read something and just have it. That would be pretty cool. You know, then we could just go read the Bible once, and we got it, and go on living our happy little people lives down here on earth, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. That is just not the way it works. You know, and some people get really frustrated with themselves. I said, I've been hanging around church for 2 years. Why can't I get this? I said, wow, 2 years already. How long did it take you to learn algebra? If you don't have the things, the natural things of this earth figured out in 30, 40, 50 years, how do you think you're going to have God figured out in two? See, God takes us from grace to grace. Don't get frustrated with yourself if you think you know a little bit. You're going to get one light at a time. But we keep learning. You know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, we're going to spend the rest of our lives learning about God. Did you know there's nobody knows him completely? You know, we know what we know. Well, we're going to keep learning. And that's okay. You know, we can learn a little bit at a time. God's not upset with us when we learn a little bit at a time. Have you ever seen a mom take her baby and he's just learning how to walk and she sets him on the floor and said, okay, this is the second time I've done with you, Junior, you get it right or we're done. That don't happen, does it? No, Junior takes a couple steps, mom goes over, picks him up, says, good job, you're doing better. And that's people love. And God loves us even beyond that. He's going to keep picking us up and cleaning us off, dusting us off, set us back down, get us going. He is going to teach us to walk by faith. So don't worry if we trip a little bit once in a while. Just keep stepping. We keep stepping, and God keeps taking care of us. But the thing is, we got to get in His Word and get His Word in us. Now, here's something at the beginning of Psalm chapter 112. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in His commandments. Now, our commandments today, you know, we do have some laws in the New Testament. Did you know that? No, we got delivered from the Old Testament law. We're not under that. But there is some laws in the New Testament that we have to keep. One of them is the law of faith. Did you know that's a law? But you're not going to be condemned if you break that law. Another one is the law of liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the law of liberty, which you've been placed in. See, we get liberty from in Christ from the law. We stay away from that. You know, we've all been told all these do's and don'ts. You know, you must do this and you must not do that. And if you do this bad, if you do this wrong, you're bad. If you don't do this, you're bad. That's the law. We're not under that. We're under grace. That's what Paul was saying, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Don't let yourself be yoked with that law again. You stay free. Another one is the law of love. See, sometimes this gets a little bit confusing. Because preachers will say, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. You know, Jesus said that. He said that, so it can't be a lie, right? But did you know that he said that before the cross? See, the cross made all the difference in the world. Jesus was talking to people under the law. He was telling them how to uphold the law. After the cross, everything changed. Now, John tells us to believe the love that God has for us. See, when we're counting on our own efforts to love God, guess what? We're going to fail. You know, we'll make a mistake. And the devil will be right there to tell us that if you really loved God, you would have went over and gave those poor people some food. If you really loved God, you would have went out on the mission field. If you really loved God, you would have done this. Or you would have done that. You know, see, the devil's favorite tool to beat up Christians with is the law. He'll find some place where we missed on the law, and he'll come and remind us of it. And then we feel that bad feeling coming around us. And it's an opportunity for us to come under condemnation. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We don't have any business playing around with condemnation. Condemnation does not come from God. That comes from Satan. But when we believe the love that God has for us, that's different. When we believe that God loves us, really believe it, that makes loving somebody else a lot easier. Amen? Here's some things that happen when you delight in His commandments. It says that His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. See, a lot of people have gotten wealth and riches down to this where they got to be obedient in all these, in these different things. It's always about their obedience. What about Christ's obedience? What about His work on the cross? He did it for us. See, God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Remember, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. See, it's all about His grace. But here's the thing right here. I want you to look at this next verse. It said, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of darkness floating around in this world right now. Almost everywhere you go, you can find somebody that's going to be afraid about what's happening in Ukraine. They're going to be afraid about what's happening in Iran and Israel. They're going to be afraid about all these things. They're going to try to strike fear in your heart, but your heart is established. Let that light rise up in you. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I don't care what the stock market's doing. Matter of fact, I keep watching the stock market, waiting for the day it crashes. The thing needs to go away. That man-made system needs to go away. We need to go back to God's system on gold and silver. See, there's a lot of things going on in this world, and there's some people that study eschatology all the time, say we're in the tribulation and the end times. You know, quite possibly could be in the tribulation. There's some confusing things to me. They've always said that Russia was going to come and annihilate Israel. Putin got on TV and he said, you know, there's so many Russian people in Israel. They told Iran, we're not going to help you with this. So where do we stand on that? Another thing that says that the children of Israel, the people of Israel, were going to flee Israel and go to this place called Petra. There's a canyon that they walk. You can only fit one person at a time. They gotta go single file through this canyon to get to Petra. So I kept watching and waiting, and then Israel said, no Israeli citizens are gonna leave Israel. they were blocking them from leaving Israel. But I've seen some videos of some, which is where Petra is. So I keep watching. I tell you what, if I see anybody hit that crack, if I see anybody hit that canyon going single file down there, I'm going to look up. Eschatologists keep changing their mind on how things happen. You know, they keep learning, they keep getting revelation, they keep learning, they keep getting revelation, they keep learning. Somebody got mad at me one time because I didn't preach about eschatology. And I said, with all these people running around that aren't born again, I'm not going to worry about what's happening. I'm going to worry about right now. Somebody needs to get their salvation solid. Somebody needs to be born again. I'm going to study about how that happens. Amen. I want to take as many people with me as I possibly can. God's going to sort that out. You know, we don't have to know everything about the future. We're not going to know everything about the future. Did you get that figured out yet? But we need to know Jesus, our shepherd. You know, he has a staff and a rod. You know, the staff, this is great big cane. It's not just a Christmas decoration. See, when these sheep, he always likens us to sheep. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. I came from sheep country. These sheep would walk out in these bogs, and these people could take this long cane and reach out there, get them around the neck, and pull them back to safety. Yeah. And then he has a rod. And this rod is specially designed to beat predators off. We have a good shepherd that gets us out of trouble when we get in trouble, and he has a staff, a rod, to keep the predators away. You know, we have some predators out there. Thank God for Jesus. He takes care of us. Sometimes in spite of ourselves. You know, sometimes we weave when we should have wobbled. You know, people make mistakes. And sometimes people even go up there and, you know, I always think about ever since I seen this picture of this monkey sneaking up on this sleeping lion with the stick, I thought, that is people. People go poke trouble. They poke trouble. They have this inherent ability to find trouble. But thank God we can always run to Jesus. Amen. And it's better to just not go looking for trouble. Let's just stay as close to him as we can. Meditating on his word, going through these psalms, and studying these things is going to help us stay hooked to him. You know, right here in verse 5, it says, a good man shows favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be established in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. There's too many Christians running around that are afraid. They shouldn't be afraid. Our hearts should be fixed on the Lord. Regardless of what they do in Washington, D.C., regardless of what they do in Israel, Iran, anywhere else, we shall not be afraid. You know, the Bible has 364 references that says, thou shall not fear. 365. I wonder if they got one in there for leap year. See, it would be one thing if Jesus said, don't be afraid. But he didn't say that, did he? He said, fear not. Almost every single fear, sickness, every phobia has its root in the fear of death. Did you know that? Every phobia has its root in the fear of death. You know, people may be afraid of freezing to death. You know, there's all kinds of fears. People have a fear of height. It always has its root in death. And see, death was not created by God. That was not God's idea. That came from Satan. And that's why death is a mystery to man. Because we were not created to die. We were supposed to go on and on and on. And in fact, God told Adam, said, if you eat that fruit, you will die. And then Adam lived for 800 years. Physically. Spiritually, the minute he ate of that fruit, he died. And he was cut off from the presence of God. And we couldn't be in his presence until Jesus came here. God invaded our world with his word. So we're talking about having our heart established. I want you to go over to Psalm 37 real quick. Let's look at Psalm 37, verse 17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. See, when you get born again, you become the righteousness of God. You are the righteous. Now, there might be a lot of things happen, but the Lord upholds the righteous. And he says, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Right there, that should tell us right there, it doesn't matter what happens in this world. See, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We belong to a whole different kingdom. God has ways of taking care of us. There's a whole bunch of people running around worried about sustainability. Then we're going to run out of food. You know, in the 70s, we were going to run out of oil. You know, we're always going to run out of something. If you're looking at the world, then you're going to have a lack mentality. But if you're looking at God, he says he's going to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has no lack. There's no lack in him. He can feed all the people of this world with the resources that we have on this earth. And he can even double that. I bet he can even triple it. I bet he can even do more than that. I bet he has more than we can even imagine. See, when I give you, if I have $100 and I give you $10, then I only have $90 because I gave you $10 out of my supply. That's not the way God does business. See, says it's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can you imagine how much glory there is in Christ Jesus? That's bigger than anybody can even think. So when he gives you $100, he can't even tell it's been missing. It's not missing. It's out of his riches in glory. Don't get mad when you see somebody else get blessed. Get happy. If he can get blessed, so can I. Verse 21 tells us that the righteous shows mercy and gives. See, we can operate in mercy, and we can help people. Though we fall, well, let's see. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. There's, as far as I can see, there's coming a millennial reign. There's coming a jubilee. I can see a jubilee coming. I don't know when the rapture happens, how all this shakes about. But there's supposed to be a millennial reign coming. It means that Satan is taken out of the way, thrown in a pit for 1,000 years, and we get to run around down here on this cool place without his influence. How fun would that be? You know, then we can find out that all these people that we've been told we're supposed to not like, that we can like them. And they don't really hate us. You know how many people are running around that are absolutely convinced that all Iranians hate us? That's not true. Most of the Iranian people love America. And they were in the streets celebrating when Israel started bombing their government. I haven't seen videos of some of the women taking their head coverings off. They're tired of it. They want to be set free. They knew they were in bondage. Americans didn't have any idea they were in bondage because they've been told all their lives that they're free. You see how propaganda works now? The devil is the master of propaganda. And he's used it on this world for so long that people have accepted it. I thank God now that I left school before I had too much damage done to me. I'm really grateful I didn't ever enter into a university system. But I did manage to grab one book called Animal Farm. And I read that book and I thought, oh my God, we're living this right now. I was just in junior high. And then when I started getting in the Bible and finding out the truth and finding out what's going on, I thought, whoa, we really have been boiled slowly. But God in his mercy is starting to get enough people to wake up and see the light and see what's going on. I think we're going to get this thing turned around. And it's not just the financial system, the government system, the religious system has been boiling people for a long time. I've often said the strongest narcotic that I ever have heard of is religion. That's sad to say, but some of the most blind people I run into sit in church every single Sunday. Every time the doors swing open, They've been convinced that because somebody did something to them, they're okay. You know, they got sprinkled with water, or they got baptized when they was a baby, or maybe they signed a card at a church, now they're remembered, whatever. The things just never end. But the only thing that Jesus said that they need to be concerned with on that is that a man must be born again. Period. Jesus said that. Bible tells us if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. You know, that was my first light, my first revelation, is getting born again. All I knew. But see, that's the way everybody is. We get born again, that's our first light. That's our first revelation. So then we learn something else about Jesus. Guess what happens? We get another light. Then we learn something else about Jesus. We get another light. We learn something else about Jesus. We get another light. And then pretty soon, guess what happens? We'll find it right here in verse 23. Ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Pretty soon, we learn how we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. And then we're never going to make any mistakes again, right? No, he said, though he fall, we are going to make mistakes. I promise you we're going to make mistakes. There's only one man that has ever walked the face of this earth that never made a mistake, and they hung him on the cross to pay for our mistakes. Praise God. That should make your heart pound. Now we just look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We can understand we're not going to walk through this life perfectly, but by the grace of God, we're going to walk through this life successfully. Amen. And here's the thing. I really had a challenge with this. Because I thought at some point I could fall from grace. And this kept me awake at night. I was wondering when was this next mistake going to come that I was going to fall from grace. But you know, I know Jesus will never ask us to do anything that he wouldn't do. And one time somebody come up to him and said, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Jesus said 70 times 7. That's 490 times a day. That's a lot. I suppose I could figure, I could forgive somebody once, you know, and they do it again. Yeah, I could come up with forgiveness for them again. They do it 5 or 6 times. I might be scratching my head. But Jesus said 70 times 7 in a day. You know, God's mercy endures forever. And we get a fresh dose of his mercy and grace every morning. Thank God. We need it. I said, we need it. Every morning. Every day. God's forgiveness is fresh every day. And what Paul said, according to falling from grace, he said, you don't fall from grace. If you do anything, you fall into grace. And he said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. See, man has come up with this special idea of falling from grace. Man has come up with this special idea of keeping track of sins. Man has come up with these special ways of disqualifying people from the goodness of God. Jesus got on the cross to set us free from that nonsense. God forgives us unconditionally because he put his son on the cross and shed his blood. It cost him everything. All we can do is raise our hand and say, Jesus, be my Savior. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you for the love of God that surpasses anything we could even imagine. And we thank you that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. No matter how we may blow it, the love of God is still there for us. And we thank you that you're there for us. You said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We are in these earthen vessels called our bodies, but it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, that keeps us going. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for the cross of Christ and every bit of freedom that it brought about. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have pie and ice cream and coffee and fellowship back here. Come on back and have some.